I've got a question for you. What would happen if you failed to show up at your job for a few days and didn't tell your boss that you were going to be out and why? Okay. How about if your job had you in, let's call it a heavy-duty level of responsibilities and decision-making? How happy would your boss be then? Odds are, in most cases, you'd be, as they say, future-endeavored. But that anvil doesn't seem to be hanging over the head of Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, at least right now. Joining us to discuss this is a retired U.S. Army colonel, served for 27 years, including tours in Ukraine and Middle East. He's the founder of a full-service communications firm, Joe Pacino Consulting. Colonel Joe Pacino, how are you today, sir?
Hey, Chris, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for doing this, because with your expertise, both in the military and what you're doing now, you sort of fit into all sides of this equation. But just for the listener, just as a brief summation, and the story varies a little bit, but I'm going with this because it's basic consensus I was able to determine. Lloyd Austin disappears for a few days, called going AWOL, since we know we're talking about defense secretary here. He's in the hospital. How did the White House find out he was in the hospital? Well, through word and through the chief of staff, who then informed the president. When did they find out that why Secretary Austin was in the hospital? Well, when he was talking to the president a couple of Saturdays ago, and he said, oh, yeah, I was in there because I have prostate cancer. You know, when you think of the role of defense secretary, Colonel, going AWOL is not really part of the list of things you want to do on the job like the one that Secretary Austin holds, is it?
Well, it certainly does not instill confidence. This was actually a critical time, and it is just strange that he was able to disappear. Nobody knew where he was. He transferred authority to the Deputy Secretary of Defense, Kathleen Hicks, and apparently never talked to her about it. She stayed on vacation in Puerto Rico, and it's one thing, and I really do have a problem with this, they did not tell the press. That's a real problem, and it's a problem of transparency, and it's a problem of reputation. And frankly, I think it's going to be hard for people now at this critical moment to believe what's coming out of the Pentagon. But, you know, it's also a problem of process. In other words, like, do we even need this guy? If the ship kept running without him, the White House wasn't looking for him. His deputy wasn't looking for him. What does he do all day? What does he have going on? And you know, this is a really dangerous time. I mean, you know, we struck Baghdad, I guess, without really. And now we're in this low-grade war with the Houthis. And, you know, there's an issue of transparency and an issue of what this guy was doing.
Especially when you consider, too, that one of the roles of the defense secretary is in, he or she is in the chain of command regarding all things nuclear. And if you need a decision, you need to notify him to get to the meeting. The last thing you want to get is a voicemail message.
That's right. That's right. I mean, I think, you know, I was a close aide for Secretary of Defense, Pat Shanahan. And, you know, when I worked for him, you know, there were about 300 people that had to know where he was at all times. You know, you're talking about aides like me, note takers. There are people who carry top secret, a laptop of top secret information in case something happens, something comes in. There's people who travel around with top secret phones in case he's got to call a foreign defense minister. There's people who carry around a phone in case he's got to call the president. And, you know, there's also security, there's drivers, there's layers of people who need to know where this guy is, to include the other leaders in the Pentagon, the combatant commanders in Central Command and European Command. And so, you know, nobody knows where this guy is. Nobody's looking for him. Nobody's worried about it. It's all a very strange story. I called for his resignation right away. I was early to this Saturday when it was announced that he was in the hospital, nobody knew. I called for his resignation. Since then, the Washington Post has come around to my view. There's some Democrats that have come around to my view. It's under investigation. Ultimately, nothing's going to happen because the White House doesn't care. But it's a very dangerous situation. It's very concerning.
I like, you know, given what I do, I like to watch these people maybe with more an analytical eye than anything else. And to me, Austin doesn't seem like a great communicator. The very few times I've seen him in any sort of interview format, it looks more like a hostage tape. He doesn't want to be there. He's really not a great communicator. I mean, you can't call Lloyd Austin another Mark Milley, for example. Millie would never miss out on a chance to say what he thought about something.
For all Millie's flaws, and I'm very critical of him, now that I'm out of uniform, but for all of his flaws, he understood why it was important to maintain good relations with the Pentagon press and when to lean on them and when to feed them little nuggets that would serve the United States well. Austin, you know, first of all, as you alluded, he always looks miserable. And he does not talk to the Pentagon press. You know, I know all these reporters, right? And so he travels with them. He travels on his personal plane with the reporters because he's required to. And he never talks to them. And in fact, you know, one reporter, a very senior reporter, said he treats us like luggage. And, you know, another reporter I know saw Austin go to the bathroom on the plane. And he said hi to him, and Austin just ignored him. And so, okay, you do that. Well, you know, you're not going to make any friends when you need them, and other people are going to advocate for their story over yours. That's how D.C. works. And so, you know, look, I never thought he was a good choice to be SecDef, and I think this moment shows why he's a particularly bad choice. He's too private, and you just don't get the expectation of privacy when you are one of the top 20 most important people in the world.
And, but like it or not, in the time that we are in the calendar, politics becomes part of the playbook. And for President Biden to fire Secretary Austin, that gives political food to the other side, obviously, and even within his own party. So, you know, as a communications consultant, putting that hat on your head, is the path to resolve all this a strong behind closed doors urging to resign, quote unquote?
I think so. What I thought about was, you know, a statement from Lloyd Austin, you know, I'm leaving to focus on my health and spend more time with my family, and you know, I think that would have been the way to do it. It doesn't look like they're going to do that. But if you just look at this from a PR perspective, it kind of shows these guys don't know what they're doing. So if they'd originally said he's in the hospital getting treatment and just left it at that, okay. And then as, you know, Pat Ryder is the Air Force general who gives the updates behind the podium. As he gave those updates, you know, kind of updated his condition, he's in more pain, so he's staying. It's a story, right? It's a little bit of a story, but it's not a full-blown crisis. And so the Pentagon was putting little drips of this out at a time. They were still saying that he went for elective surgery, even though that makes no sense and it's not believable, given that he has prostate cancer. And I think had they, you know, with each drip, there's more questions, there's more threads to pull. There's another story. And so what would have been a one-day story becomes a seven-day story.
And when you look, too, at a medical aspect, too, when you say prostate cancer, that's very general because I know of people who survived and recovered from prostate cancer. I know of people who died from prostate cancer. Yeah. So lack of specifics there is also a concern, again, for the position that he's in. Talk a little bit about your professional company now and what you do, what you provide, and for services for media communication, image making. And I don't know, maybe you can launch a contract with the Biden administration, given what's going on right now.
Yeah, I do some work with the government. I do some work with private industry. It's Joe Buccino Consulting. You can find it at joebuccinoconsulting.com. My last name is spelled B, as in boy, U-C-C-I-N-O. And what I do is crisis comms, which seems to be no end of corporate crises that I'm contracted to do. I do the kind of setting people up for interviews with broadcast TV. I do speech writing, brand marketing. So it's what we do here is kind of all services, and it's a real carryover to what I was doing in the military, just doing it, you know, in the corporate sector for companies and citizens, and sometimes for people who are in trouble, which I get a real knack for that sort of thing, and lean into those instincts that I developed.
Certainly, with the career that you have and the resume that you have, you can certainly help, as you do, help aspects of the military show how they're getting the job done. And given your connection with ideas of politics, you can certainly, here in New Jersey or nowhere else, help politicians save their butts out of fires for a variety of reasons, too. Learn more about the Colonel's work, JoePacinoConsulting.com, JoePacinoConsulting.com, which we have a link over at our website for you to check out his services, because wherever you are, he can help you out with professional expertise and guidance in your image, in for your business, for yourself, for all points in between. Colonel Joe Pacino, thank you so much for your service to our nation, for your honesty in what seems to be a minor issue, but when you look at the details and the mechanics, something certainly to be more than just curious about. Thanks for being here today.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.